Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. My dear fellow redeemed, you have just heard the text. It speaks about Paul's boasting. Pride is an interesting thing, is it not? If you're like I am and watch a fair amount of sports on TV when there's the opportunity, I watch with great amusement at times, and I have yet to see someone on the sidelines, particularly playing to the camera, holding up their fingers and saying, "We're number two." That's amusing to me when it's the last team who is beating the second last team in the league. There's no lack of pride around. We see it in the world. We see it in the advertising world. We see it in the workplace. And even ashamedly, we at times see it in the church. Nothing new, is it? That's exactly what was going on in Paul's time. We often say, for example, these days, if there's inappropriate behavior, we make excuses for it, in a sense, by saying the person who is participating in that inappropriate activity must have a low self-image. And I would feel relatively sure that if we did a posthumous psychoanalysis of Paul based on our text today, we would certainly conclude that Paul must have had self-destructive tendencies. I mean, listen to the list. 40 lashes minus one, 5 times beaten with rods, out in the open sea, danger from rivers, bandits, countrymen, danger of Gentiles in the city and in the country, sea, danger of false brothers, and it goes on and on and on. He must have brought it on himself. Paul's very act of boasting in our text is not something that Paul was comfortable with. He was forced into it, in a sense. He says that. False teachers, false apostles were coming into the church at Corinth, and unfortunately, the Corinthians were being taken in by it. These ones who had the better doctrine, the better way, and were proud of it and boasting of it. So Paul essentially is saying, okay, if that's the way the game is played, I'll play it with you. If boasting is what you listen to, then let me boast. But what a turn. What a turn when we listen to what Paul boasts about. Paul says if he is going to boast, I will boast of only those things that show my weakness. Paul never forgot who he was. It was never lost on Paul of what he did before that Damascus road. And therefore, Paul was indeed impressed by God's grace, who could come to him, reach to him, bring him in to the church. Paul never forgot who he had become and why. You cannot read Paul that word grace, 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 Greece is just there. And Paul never forgot how he was used. This list essentially says that. When was he shipwrecked? When was he beat? For what purposes was this? Did all of this happen? And you can't have much pride and think much of your self abilities when you're hanging on to a piece of ship timber floating in the sea and saying, I guess I've got to pull myself up by my own bootstraps. Or being tied to a post and being flogged in a way that killed many men. Paul understood grace. Paul was certainly not against learning. After all, he was one of the most educated men of his times. Paul was certainly not against adaptation. This is the man who says, I became all things to all men that some might be saved. And Paul certainly was not against tradition. Only when it denied or hindered the gospel. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, Satan and the world and our own flesh urge us also to sinful pride. And even though we denounce in all of its forms synergism, working in any way with God or depending on anything about us, we still behave at times as if that's exactly what it depended on, our superiority, our better ways, our better understanding. And I'm not talking to you men only who someday will be out there. Perhaps that's our problem. We keep looking someday. Our brothers and sisters, this text talks to us today. Would that this attitude of Paul were in each and every one of us today here at this seminary. Would that each one of us would never forget who we were. Dead, blind, enemies, with nothing to commend us to our God. For while we were yet sinners, Christ came and died for us. And would that every one of us here this morning and in this entire community would understand how we got where we are. It was by our baptism that God reached to us. He came to us. Not because of any worthiness in me, but only by his call and his coming. And would that we would remember how we are and where we are in life today. Do we have education? Certainly. Do we have abilities? Certainly. Is this what this church will be built on? No, it never has been. We are also to remember our inadequacies. If you will, our shipwrecks and our beatings and the times we were down and out. You see, the more we center in on strengths, the more we diminish God's grace. But the more we center on our weaknesses, as Paul would have us do, we understand and depend on grace. I do my best. But our text tells us our best is nothing to brag about. Do we have a high sense of self? Do we have a high self-image? Of course we do. Of course we do. But it's in the same sense that Paul had a high self-image, which he also tells us. It is Christ who lives in me. It is that Christ that came to us in our baptism, who still comes and takes up residence in me. And then I can exclaim with Paul, and this gives us the courage to live. It gives us courage to minister. It gives us courage to serve. Because with Paul we can say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The grace of God rescued us, brought us here, continues to sustain us, and that then even as we boast of our weaknesses, His grace is sufficient for us. Amen.